I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I thank God for summertime. Amen. And I just want to thank God for you being here this morning. And I tell you what, this is certainly the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we're just going to be thankful for the goodness of the Lord as we worship this morning and as we step into what God has for us. Amen. I believe today is going to be a very good service. And so God's just coming even right now, and he's going to continue to touch us in a great way. Amen.
But now I'm singing. sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. You're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Grace rewrote my story. I'm justified by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story.
Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound.
feel the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
That I heard. If you've got breath, you have no excuse not to praise Him. None. I heard a story about a woman back in the day caught polio, and she was in a home recuperating for a couple years, and she couldn't move her neck, she couldn't move her arm, she couldn't do anything without help. And then when she did move, she was in severe pain. But when she finally got out and was able to be with her family, she still asked God, "I have breath. What is there still that you want me to do for your kingdom? It's time to put everything else aside and be willing, because we have breath, that we woke up this morning to praise our God and be willing to do something for Him."
Amen. 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 Yes.
I can't.
Grab him this morning. Hold on, it's here. to shake up your faith. You need to use it again. The Lord hasn't forsaken you. He's still with you. If you don't feel him and he's distant, it might be because you moved. You need to run to him this morning. Oh, we awaken the dry bones today. Thank you.
did was stay still. Hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, my great defender. So much better your way. Come on, sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better your way. Hallelujah, my great defender. So much better your way.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Lord, we give you glory.
the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's all we need to do is just stay still. Amen. And let the Lord do what he's going to do. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. We thank you for your presence in here already, Lord. And we thank you how you're filling the house and touching lives and touching people. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, we know there's a lot of battles being fought. The Lord says there's a lot of battles that's been won.
Amen.
Amen. It's been a long battle. We heard on Thursday night that there was assignment put against our church.
Yeah.
From the enemy. And that God has broken that assignment.
Amen.
And that it's over.
Amen.
And I'm expecting to start seeing things in people's lives in this church, because it wasn't just against the church, it was against the people of this church.
Amen.
And we've seen battle after battle after battle. And I'm telling you, I've seen the faithfulness of God through it all.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. So what you got?
Well, I got to remind us that coming up on Saturday, July 2nd at 11 a.m., the outreach team is going to go out with water and the love of Jesus and touch our community. Amen?
Amen.
So, Jason, give the Lord a hand clap.
Jason.
So, Jason Kearns back there is going to be leading that group. So, make sure you're here at 11, and we're going to have a great, great time at it.
Our
Amen.
Vacation boy. Somebody said, Jason, you look like you're on vacation all the time. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I love it. I don't want to be on vacation all the time, but I do like vacation.
Amen.
Amen. Speaking of vacation, we got a lot of people on vacation. So, Lord, we just thank you for traveling mercies on all of them. Lord, we thank you for favor during their vacation with them. Lord God, that they would just have a great time, be rested in the name of Jesus. Lord God, be refreshed and just spend some quality time with that family. And show yourself strong in them in Jesus' name.
Is today vacation Bible school meeting?
Yeah.
After church?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jared said yeah. We have a video for you.
Oh, okay, yep.
Or they have a video for you.
Howdy kids, come on out for Revival Falls, USA, where faith is a way of living. Now, I know you might want to come and you might not have a horse you can saddle and your piggy banks might not be so full. So we have some ways that we want you to get your parents involved. And Pastor Jared's going to tell you more about that.
Hey, cowboys, cowgirls, moms and dads especially, right here is our wanted poster. And these are things that we could use for Vacation Bible School this year. Now, you may not be able to come out and serve all week long, but these are ways that you can invest. You can bless our kids, and we have candy, we have cash, prizes, water, snacks, okay, all kinds of stuff. You come up to this board, you identify what you want to do, what you want to give, you grab a card, you take it with you to remind you, and then you just bring this stuff back and you can donate it to us, and we'll take care of it from there. And also, if you're going to do a cash donation, put it on an envelope, write Vacation Bible School, and put it in our offering buckets, okay? Appreciate you guys.
Amen.
I like the move in the end.
Amen. I like the cowboy hat. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Somehow you put that cowboy hat and you start to talk like him. Like,
Amen.
What was that? Like, both of you. You both of you start talking like a cowboy.
You're supposed to be cowboy.
Western cowgirl. Howdy, y'all.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm excited about that. If you know me, if you've been with us, you know that is my favorite VBS ever. I'm a cowgirl at heart, except I don't like bugs. And I don't like poo, and I don't want to go out and shovel in there, but so. Amen. But I'm a cowgirl at heart. Amen. So what else? We had the women's painting thing. How'd that go yesterday? Heard it went good, good. Amen. Awesome. And then women, just keep in mind for July, we're going to forego the women's breakfast and Bible study until August. Because of the holiday, and then we'll meet back first Saturday in August here at the church at 9 o'clock, And we've got Amber back there. She's going to bring the word. So we're excited about that. Amen. Amen. So women, just come on out. I'm telling you, it is an awesome time to come together to hear the word, to hear people's hearts, to hear people talk about how God has moved and talked to them and get different perspectives. Amen. And it's just a good time of fellowship because you get to know the people around you and that they're here for you, that you're not alone. The enemy's a liar. You're not alone. You're not the only one that's ever gone through something. Somebody else is too. And he tries to isolate us to think that we're the only ones that have ever gone through this. Or I'm just weak and I can't do this. I can't believe. Why can't I be stronger? And we all think it, right? We all think it. You just get to hear us say it now. And I just love it. I just love the community of women that we have. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Well, other than that, we're going to release the children to go to children's church. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're going to have a good time. Amen. And then we're going to spend just a few minutes here on the tithe and offering message, and that's going to come out of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone." You know, I want you to know something, that when you are in this walk, there is a completion of things that need to be activated in your life. And judgment, faith, and mercy is one of the greatest things that we need to be able to give out to other people and to be able to have activated in your life, as well as your tithing and offering and giving. And so these things are things that are promises and opportunities for us to see the hand of God on our life and to be blessed by what the Lord is really going to do for each and every one of us. And so today, just don't forget that along with tithing, make sure that you're a person that honors things like mercy, judgment, forgiveness, faith, and kindness towards others. Amen? Because you don't want to think that giving your tithe makes everything else all right. No, you want to make sure that this is just a part of your walk and a part of what you do along with the other things that you do to solidify your faith. Amen? And we want to remember that the Lord will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Amen? And he'll open up the windows of heaven and give you favor throughout your life because you are tithing and an offering person. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare your glory and we just exalt you this morning, Father. And Lord, as we bring forth our tithes and offerings, we thank you that you're faithful and you're kind and you're merciful, God. And we just thank you for your goodness. And God, we're going to also remember to do the weightier things. We're going to remember to have judgment, mercy, and faith and those good things like forgiveness in our life operating. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Trying to give me an introduction and I'm kicking him out. I'm saying, no, I don't think we need one. Y'all know who I am. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. Phil's been complaining and yelling at me for like, I don't know, 5 months, 4 months. Saying, you know, typically I would take at least about 4 trips by now, right? And you would have had to preach at least 4 of those times. So why aren't you preaching? I said, well, I was feeling a little good break right there. I thought that was pretty awesome. So the Lord said, not no more. So he woke me up and said, we got to do this. So I don't know. Many of you will remember not too long ago on a Sunday morning, we received a prophecy. And I want to read that prophecy to you. She sent it to me. And I'm grateful she did, because when she thought it, I thought, she never sends me this stuff. Like, that's crazy. And then it was probably about 2 weeks later, the Lord started working on my heart about this prophetic word that he gave us during the day or during that service. And it says, the church doors are not just open for the body of Christ, but are open for everyone. The hurt, the lost, the dying, the backslider, the prodigal, the prostitute, the pimp, the drug addict, the abuser, and so on. Church, body of Christ, get ready, for you're going to see the world come through those doors. And it's not always going to be pretty or look good. It may even be and looked on or seem weird. Love them. Love them as I have loved you, and I do love you. Give them room to grow. Be passionate. Pray for them. Spend time with them. You're going to see tattoos, piercings, bright colored hair, and all sorts of walks of life. And I thought, Lord, like I'm listening to this prophecy just like you are. Lord, this is your prophecy you gave a couple weeks ago just to catch you up. And I'm listening to this prophecy, and it says tattoos and piercings, and I'm up here hearing, and I'm talking to the Lord while I'm hearing it, because I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. We don't care about tattoos and piercings and what color a person's hair is in here. Thank you, and yes, agree. But that, like, we don't look on the outward side of man. Then I heard that somebody came in here with something on their head, and it was a teenager, and somebody laughed at them and said something to somebody. And this all, my thought process of what kind of church we had here went out my mind at that moment. And I said, what? Now, I don't think that all of you, I don't even think that the person who did it meant to do what they did. I think that we in the world, before we became saved, had so many thought processes that we did and things that we thought and the ways that we just, you know, laughed at something or and we don't understand that that's not appropriate in the kingdom of God, right? I came in those doors, and I was, not these doors, but other church doors, and I was totally broken. I may have had a dress on. I may have had my hair curled and some makeup on my face, but the inside of me was dirtier than anything that could have came in that door. I was broken. And the people that was there just loved me. And now I feel like I don't come in all straight. Like I got jeans on today. Why? Because I'm tired of a Pharisee view saying that we have to be one way. I'm tired of a Pharisee view that looks and judges based on traditions of man instead of God's word. That's why. I'm breaking a boundary of you have to wear this to church or you have to wear this to church or you have to wear this to church. And I've been doing it silently for a couple years now because I'm tired of people looking down on people because of anything they might have on, might be wearing, might look like, how their hair looks, right? Listen, appearance is going to be the least. We're going to have drug addicts that are walking through our doors that may be in the moment higher than anything we've ever seen. And there's a devil inside of them, and it needs dealt with. Who cares about their appearance? Who cares about how they're behaving? What matters is, where's our heart? Where's our heart in this? What are we looking at? What are we thinking when we see that come through? Because if you're thinking, oh my goodness, that person acts weird, I can't look at them, I'm just going to walk away from them, I can't, what? What? Like, I can't fathom it in my head. We're the people of love. We are the ones supposed to love. We had a women's conference, it was like an overnighter in a hotel one time, like when we first got here. Some of you may have been there. I think Stacey were with us. And it was years ago. It was in Columbus. And I believe it was that night that the Casey Anthony story was huge, right? And I said, because she got, you know, not guilty. People think she still did it. I don't know. Not either way. I said to them, what would you do if she walked through the church doors? What, like, seriously, like, sit here for a moment. What would you do if she walked through the church doors? She needs saved. She needs Jesus. Just like everybody else. Right? And I got some really not nice feedback. Oh, I just can't handle that. Whoa, hold up. Back up. You can't handle what? You can't handle who you used to be before you walked in the church door? We all aren't perfect. We all came in sinners. And the last time I read, it says none is greater than the other when it comes to sin. Right? So what can't you deal with? You can't deal with loving somebody like Christ loved you? Man, I told Phil, I really didn't want to do this. It's kind of rough. You know? But correction comes with the word too, right? And sometimes I honestly think that sometimes we do actions and do things that we are oblivious to ourselves. Right? Like, we'll say something like, oh no, I think it was the first women's breakfast that we had. I said, okay, y'all, this is your father's house. Act like it. And in my head, I'm thinking, go in there, get your food, get your drink. You don't have to ask nobody. This is your father's house. Like, if you ever go to your mom's house and you just go in the refrigerator, and some of them thought I was getting ready to rebuke them, like, be good. And I'm like, that didn't come to my head until they said that. But it was the way I said it was intense. But I'm saying it wasn't my intention to say it that way, right? It was my intention to say, go in there and feel free to get what you need. You know, look in the cupboards. If you can't find what you need, look. You know, it's your house. This is God's house. This is your house. It's your daddy's house. And so until they said something, I didn't realize that's how it came across, right? So I believe that we do things sometimes oblivious to the way it comes across. And so I do think, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. I do think people know what they're doing, and they just do it anyway. So I'm not letting everybody off the hook. Right? I'll let you off the hook if it is truly, you just don't realize it. But this is a wake-up call to say we've got to realize how we're behaving towards people. Somebody comes in that door and they've got, I don't know, 3 colors in their hair. And I think some of them are beautiful, man. I bless them that they're bold enough to do it, because I'm so old-fashioned, I'm not bold enough to do it. I did show Phil a picture one time of like hot pink hair, was it? No, it was red. It's like red. And I said, I'm going to do this. He said, no, you ain't. All right, then. But what if they do? What's so important about the outward appearance of a man that we can't hold up to get to the inward inside and help them? I don't understand it. I understood it when I lived in the world. Because we all thought like that, right? I got it why we lived out there. I don't get it in here. I don't understand it. It says, love them. Love them as I have and do love you. Give them room to grow. Be passionate. This isn't Laura talking to you. This was the Lord God Almighty talking to you, saying, love my people. Why should he? I mean, and I don't think he was begging us when he did this. I think he's just saying, love them. Love them. And a reminder is always good, because the Bible says that there are two greatest commandments is what? Love the Lord. Yep. And then what's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you look in the mirror and see how you're dressed sometimes and say, oh, that don't look good? Because I do. And I got time to change it before I leave the house. And I'm like, oh, well, they're just going to see the rules. We're just going for it, I guess. Right? I'm not out there making fun of myself when we go out. I'm just kind of trying to keep under the radar. Right? Just let me go in my office, do my work, and go home. We'll be good. Maybe they won't see that roll that's sticking in right there in this tight shirt. Right? What if I didn't get a chance to, and I never do my hair during the week until it's church time or we go out, and my hair's just straight. I don't think about anybody's hair. I don't care what you, I don't care how you wear your hair. Wear it however you want to. A man, if you want to wear hair long, wear it long. Don't care. Now that beard on Nate, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. He just was laughing, and so I had to get him, you know. It's that man's blood. It just draws you in to get them, right? No. Yes, Carrie. No, if women, you want to wear your hair short, do it. I don't care. What I care about is that we're looking on the heart of a man and loving them through everything. And what if, and I pray that that person that came in, because I was oblivious to all this. I really was. I don't know who did it. Don't ask me. I don't know who did it. And I wouldn't tell you if I didn't know who did it. I didn't ask on purpose. I don't think I asked. Because I don't want to know. I just want us to stop. I just want us to stop. Amen? Jesus says in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right? What other stipulations were put on there other than man coming to heaven but by Jesus? If he's got tattoos, he can't get in because Jesus looks at those and says, oh, sorry, you can't come in. And then John 6:44 says, no man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in that day. Every person that walks in the door, and we know there are hundreds and millions that haven't, that God draws, that God has drawn himself into this place, right? So by looking on them and thinking that they, I don't know what we think, and I don't believe y'all do think, I don't. But I want to get this message out so that we never think again badly, right? Do you guys see something that God doesn't see on them? Do we see something God doesn't see on them? Mm-mm. God said, they're mine, I'm drawing them in, and I'm bringing them here because I deem you a safe place to bring them. I deem this church a safe place that if I bring somebody in those doors, they're going to come in these doors and you're going to love them. And you're going to take care of them. And you're not going to chase them back out into the world where they've already been beat up. You're not going to beat them up in here. You're not going to make fun of them. You're not going to talk about anything. You're going to love them. That's what God's saying. Bring them into this church. And that's what he's telling you in this prophecy. I'm bringing them here because I trust you. Right? So let's be trustworthy people of the Lord to be able to have people brought in here. The word says that God is no respecter of persons. Amen? Can you throw Romans 2:11? I accidentally erased some stuff on my paper, and I can't read it all. I think I know what it says, but I don't want to make it wrong. Romans 2:11. Sorry, we'll be patient. For there is no respecter of persons with God. No Jew, no Greek. In their Bible say, no male, no female. No respecter of persons. God sees every person that walks through that door as his child. Nothing more, nothing less, his child. His created being that he is bringing in here to set free. To get delivered. Just like you got to. If I would have come in as mean as I was, I don't know how many of you guys would have wanted me to come in. But thank the Lord, God didn't care. Right? He let us come in anyway. And he's cleaned us up. So that's the part that I see when I look at, give them room to grow. Be passionate. Pray for them. Spend time with them. And I say, love them. Welcome them. My church was made especially for them. Not just for me, not just for you, for them. Be real with them. That's what I love most about Kitten. I'm just going to tell you. The realness of the people in this place, whether they're telling you off, right? Are they being good? It's the realness of people in this place. Be real with people. Nobody wants to see a fake facade. Nobody wants to see us be something here that we're not out there. That's not going to bring anybody back. They're going to say, you know what? Yeah, I've been there, but those people are just fake. They're just fake. They'll say hi to me when I'm in the church. They see me out there, and they just walk by me and won't even look at me. Now, I have never heard that. I'm telling you, the only things that I've heard a lot about this church is that the one thing that drew me into this church is how loving the people are. I have heard that a lot over the years, that you guys just accepted me with open arms. You guys were just so, everybody would just say hi to me. And I think we did a better job of it maybe in the older building because you were so on top of each other that you kind of had, you anywhere you tried to walk, you kind of had to say hi to people because you were right there, right? But I still think we do a good job. You know? Okay, will you pull up James 2, 3? God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. And you have respect to them that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto them, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit there under my footstool. I think maybe one more. Are you not then partial in yourselves? Are you becoming judges of evil thoughts? You want to be partial to anybody? If I bring my red-headed grandson in here, and he's 15, 16 years old, and he's decided to go maybe one way with blue and the other way with yellow, who knows? Hopefully, he can do whatever he wants. I don't care about hair, right? I care about the heart. And he comes in here and he's quiet and he puts his head down and he won't talk. I hope to God somebody comes up to him and loves on him. Why? Because that's rejection. You see rejection, right? They won't look at you. They won't talk. Some people are shy. Don't get it wrong. I get that. But when they won't look up and they won't talk to you, they're tired of being rejected and they're finished with it. And when we walk away from that and just allow it to be, they never feel the love again. Right? We all know how that feels. And if you haven't been rejected in here, praise the Lord you haven't. But we're not going to say to one, come and sit here, and to another because we don't like how they're behaving. I think we should probably put Jude up on stage. He always tries to preach with us, right? And say, sit here, or take him out here. And let me clear something up really fast. This church has never turned babies away from this sanctuary. Phil and I have never done it. Phil and I have never done it. Phil has preached with babies in his hands. That baby sounds off every single service now. I think he wants to preach with Phil. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to let him do it. Why? What better place for him to be? And try just to keep preaching with us. Amen? And if you're so distracted by it, I'm sorry for you that you cannot look past a cry of a baby and pay attention. We are more grown than that. Amen? Amen. That's who we are. We welcome babies into this place. Amen? We don't turn them away. And then the other thing I want to talk about is looking at somebody more importantly than you look at somebody else. Listen. Dale, stand up here. You see this man? In the kingdom of God, just as important as me. Just as important as Phil. Amy, same. Same. Everybody in here, same. I've got a scripture where it says that Cornelius went to bow to Peter. He got down and he bowed. And Peter said, get up. I am a man myself. Listen, you put me on a pedestal, you put Phil on a pedestal, you're going to be disappointed. I'm not perfect. And Lord knows. Lord knows this man's very close. But he's not perfect either. Don't put people in a place where they can fall off of. We're human. We're very human. We have life situations just like you have life situations. And don't look at me like I'm more important than you. What would ever give you that idea? What would ever give you the thought that you aren't the apple of God's eye? You, I get to do a calling that God has given me, right? This is what I'm called to do. I wouldn't have chosen it. I'm just telling you. I wouldn't have picked it, but it's what I'm called to do. And I am happy to do whatever God wants me to do. What is it that God's called you to do? Because that's just as important as what I'm doing right now. And some people don't think that. Some people look at pastors and think, yes, give honor to where honor's due. The word does say that. I'm not saying that you don't do that. I honor you. I honor anybody that comes into this church and does anything. We don't do this alone. We're not in this by ourselves. This is a group effort, amen? This is a family working together. But yes, there has to be somebody that says, yep, do that. Nope, don't do that. Okay, let's talk about that. Yes, there has to be somebody that makes the decisions, right? But that don't mean anybody's better than anybody else. We are all the same. We are all the same. And I used to look. Let me tell you, I love my pastor. My pastors have been my pastors for almost 30 years. I don't know, 28 years. Probably 28. Philip just turned 30. So 28 years. And I love them. I don't need to be their best friend. I need them to be my pastors. I need them to be able to look at me and tell me when I'm wrong. And don't you think for a moment that he will not. He does. Right? He does. We all need to see ourselves and everybody that comes in that door as the most important person in God's life. The time they walk in that door could be the time that they're thinking about suicide. And they come in here and they feel judgment and they walk out. We're not guaranteed what's going to happen, are we? But if they come in here and they feel love and they feel compassion and they feel somebody wrap, like if they're a hugger, you just have to be careful. Some are huggers, some are not huggers, but at least make them feel welcome. Let them know you're here. If you sense to pray for them, pray for them. If you sense God gives you a word for them, give them a word. But let me tell you what a prophetic word is not. It's not mean. It doesn't wish harm. It won't wish harm. It won't speak of harm. It won't speak negative over somebody's life either. It won't harm them in any way or anybody else if they heard the word or hurt them. It's encouraging. It's for uplifting them. Right? It's loving. It's God wrapping his arms around them, not casting judgment on them. I feel like you're a filthy dog sinner, and you've been out in the bars doing this and this and that, and if you don't stop it, you're going to hell tonight. That is not a prophetic word. That is not. I've heard people try to do that stuff. I have. How insane is that? Hey, this is a prophetic word. The Lord wants to speak to you and says he sees everything you're going through. I see it in my mind. I see what they're doing. God says, I've seen your struggles. I've seen your pains. I see that you're struggling a little bit. And there may be some things that you're doing that you know. But God said he's here to help you through those things. He's going to bring you out. If you will just trust him, he's going to save you. And he's going to deliver you. Amen. And he's going to make a change in your life that you can only thank him for because you'll know it's him. Amen. That's a prophetic word. Amen. Right? That's a word that's encouraging. I think that we as a body have so many great intentions, but we sometimes don't know enough in the Word. And we need to get in the Word and read the Word more. We just need to know the Word. Amen? We need to do everything with a heart of love. Amen. Well, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 6. Listen, I got two grandbabies. I'm old. You all don't know. I don't know how you people that are my age have raised kids like this late in life. Bless y'all. It's a lot of work. It's tiring. They're such a blessing, though. They're such a blessing. But these two old folks, we are used to quietness and doing what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it. If we want to go somewhere, we just get in a car. We don't got to go find pairs of shoes thrown all over the house and, oh, where's your underwear? Go put your underwear back. We don't have to do that stuff. Well, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust. No, that's not it. 6:9. Sorry, my bad. 6:9. But that's a good one. Know ye not that the righteous shall not shall not inherit. I'm going to go this way. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, did it say tattoos? I forget. My mind, you know, sometimes I do something and in the next minute I'm just, you know. It's the kids, it's the grandbabies. Just kidding. They're awesome. I love them. Okay, so did it say people with crazy hair? People that wear crazy things in their hair? Goth people that walk in dressed in all black. That neighbor you were mad at 20 years ago because they did something to you and have never said they're sorry, does it say that he doesn't get to go to heaven? Wow. So God has different kind of set of standards than we do, doesn't he? Yeah. I think I'm going to go with God's. I think I'm going to forgive those who have done me wrong. I think I'm going to look at a man and not worry about his appearance. I think I'm going to look at him and I'm going to try to look with the eyes of the Lord and see what's deeper inside. And what is that need that today? God, I see that person and something's caught me in my spirit. What do you want? Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at a person and you just knew? Okay, wait a minute. There's something different. Okay, God, what's different? What do you want me to do? What I know you want me to do something. What is it? You want me to go pay for their food? You want me to go pay for their gas? You want me just to tell them how much you love them? Like, tell me, Lord. What is it you want me to do? He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Because when we look with his eyes, we hear with his ears. And we love with his heart. When we quit looking with our own eyes, we start seeing things differently. Amen? And I no longer see the person coming in dressed in all goth as she's weird or he's weird. They're broken. They're lost. They need Jesus. Rejections hit them over and over again, and they said, you know what? Forget rejection. I'm going to do whatever I want, however I want it, and I'm just not going to care what people think anymore. Right? That's about how I dress anymore. I'm going to dress however I want. I don't care what people think anymore. Amen. Wow, 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, such were some of you, but you are washed, and you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the Spirit of our God, and by the Spirit of our God. Proverbs 6:16 says, six things doth the Lord hate. Indeed, seven are abomination: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speak lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. What? I didn't say you. What? What? You got something to say? I'm telling you. Those are the things that God hates. Amen? Doesn't care about your hair. Don't care about your clothes. He don't care about if you got tattoos on you or you don't have tattoos on you. He don't care. And neither should we. Neither should we. We should look on the heart of man and say, what do they have need of, God? We've got people that are coming in here broken. I can look around and tell you that there are people in battles. Some of them are battling for their family right now. And they need prayer. That's what we need to be about. We need to be so sensitive to the Spirit, right? We need to be so sensitive to the Spirit that none of those thoughts can even hit our heads. The enemy can't bring that stuff to our door because we're so listening to God saying, okay, we're so filled up from this week of prayer and study and worshiping the Lord that when we come into church, we're ready to give out because we understand it's not just the pastor's job to do it. It's not just the pastor's job to love on somebody as they walk in the doors. It's my job. It's your job. It's all of our job. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to be studied up, I'm going to be prayed up, and I'm going to worship the Lord, and I'm just going to be ready. Lord, I'm going to be ready for anything you want to do. Now, understand, and Laura will tell you this, and Marie will tell you this, Philip will tell you, anybody that stood up and given a word before, it is the scariest thing in the world. Because you don't want to say anything that's not of God. You don't want to get up there and be in your flesh. You want to say what God wants you to say, but you're really sitting there saying, God, you really want me to do that? You don't understand the fight somebody goes up before they come and give the word. Now, I would hope Laura, in all the years that she has been doing this, doesn't fight as much anymore. As much. But it's a fight. Fight through it. We need to hear what God's telling you to tell us. We need your perspective. You have something I don't. I have something you don't. And when God speaks to you and tells you to come up here and give a word, quit feeling like you're not important enough to do it. Quit feeling like, oh, God, you can't be talking to me. If you feel it, he's talking to you. Because you would never tell yourself to come up here and talk. Right? Scariest thing in the world. I mean, not in the world, but, you know, I didn't marry Phil. That's a little scarier. I just want us. I want a church. And I want you all to walk in here with such confidence of who you are in the Lord. Such strength, such love, such compassion that nobody will ever feel judged coming in. But also that if say Haley's sitting there and she's just had a bad week, somebody who doesn't know it, because I'm sure Amy knows it, right? Because you're friends. And that's beautiful. But let's say Candy don't know it. And Candy comes up and gives her a word. Sis, I see what you've been going through. I see what you've been battling. And the Lord says that he's going to be with you. And you're coming out of this thing. I'm telling you, you're coming out of this thing. No, really. No, I'm being serious right now. Give me your hand. I see it in your eyes. I see the battle. I see the tiredness, I see the weariness, and I see you questioning yourself. That's the enemy. That's the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and he can't because God's already given you the victory. Listen, when you talk to people, you brighten up the room, and you need to know that there's so much love that comes out of you. It's not like he's telling you. It's a lie. In this battle you're going through, let's pray strength over you right now and peace, healing into her body and into her mind. Lord, there's tiredness in the bones, but there's tiredness in the mind. And I thank you right now for my sis. Father, you're strengthening her. You're giving her peace tonight, Father, as she lays her head on her pillow. Father, you just give her the sweetest sleep she's had in a long time. Wrap your arms around her. Let her know that she is loved beyond what she could ever imagine or think. And she's not disappointed in a disappointment. She's not. It's a lie. It's a lie. She's loved. She's appreciated. People can't live without her, Lord God. She's that important. Father, I thank you. She knows that. In Jesus' name, amen. Come here, give me a hug. I can't get back there to you. I love you. Amen. 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 Okay. Amen. Amen. See how God will stop everything for one person. That's how important you are. And start off with that. I'm starting off with an example. And God said, no, it's real. Look in her eyes. Let me tell you something. God knows where every single one of you are like that. Right now, in your place of where you stand, God knows exactly where you are. The battles, we heard it Thursday night. Did we not? Some of you that were here Thursday night, he said there was an assignment put against this church from the enemy. And he's breaking it. We're going to see victory. We're going to see victory. Why? You didn't give up. You didn't quit. You didn't walk away. You stayed the course. You were faithful. There's some of you that had suffered great loss. Great loss in here. And you stayed the course. Donna and Carrie could have been anywhere. You could be anywhere right now. But you still come and choose to praise the Lord even though you're hurt. It's still very evident and very real in your hearts, right? But you stayed. You chose the Lord, and he chooses you. I see the pain still. And you know what? How do you not hurt for somebody that you loved for so long? How do you not, right? You got good days and you got bad days, the Lord says. You're going to start to see more good days than bad days. I'm with you. But I've seen your heart. And I love your heart. And I love your tenacity, he says. This isn't me saying this. This is him saying it. And he's your husband now. He. And one day you're going to be reunited because we know where Doug is at. Amen. And you, girl. Strength beyond strength, showing us this is where it's at, that when I'm broken and when I'm hurt, God, I'm running to you. I'm running to you. Do you know how powerful that is to the Lord? That you could stay at home and cry in your bed and not get up because it hurts so bad every single day. But you choose him. I'm telling you, you guys are going to see God's going to move on your behalf. He's going to help you. I can't take the pain away because it hurts when you lose a loved one. It hurts. And I only know from my parents, not even from a loved one like you guys. But I do know God is here with you. And he's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's right here with you. Amen? Okay. I'm sorry I'm sweaty and I stink. I'm so sorry. I'm so gonna help you. I love you. Guys, it's real life. It's real life and real struggles that people are going through. And I don't want to be alone in it. I want to look around and I want to be able to say I can count on them anytime. They got my back, right? And I believe that here. I believe that here. I believe that you're people that won't turn your back on people. I believe that you're people that when they walk in, you're not going to look bad on them, that you're going to love them. And you're going to not be so caught up in your own battle. your own struggles. Listen, the Bible says what you sow is what you reap, right? You sow prayers, you sow forgiveness, you sow strength, you reap it all, right? You sow love. Jeannie and I, sometimes we have the same kind of pain going on. I think I was sick last week, and she was sick last week, and I'm like, I'm praying for you. That's all I said, I'm praying for you. And I didn't focus on myself to pray for myself to feel better. I focused on Jeannie to pray for Jeannie to feel better. And she says, I'm praying for you. So she's focused on me. Why? Because what you sow is what you reap. God can't help it. You're loving his people. He can't help but to pour it back on you. Amen? Amen. This may have not been what even I thought it was going to be today. But I believe it's a good word to focus as on the importance of who we are and why we're here. And why we're and what we shouldn't be doing. Amen? He's going to bring people in. He is. And we need to be prepared. And it isn't about numbers. It isn't about numbers for me. It's about people saved and healed and delivered and set free. It's about people not being where I was at and nobody reaching out to them and touching them. Right? It's about them being able to come into a place that God is in this place. And we're not looking to man, but we look to God. And we're not pretending like a man is their answer, but we know God is their answer. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just come before you today and we thank you. We thank you for loving us so much that you will make sure that our focus is set. We want laser focus, Lord God, so that we can do the things of the kingdom that you've called us to do. Let love be in our hearts so deep, Lord God, that when we look at anybody, no thoughts can come to our mind, but Lord, do you need me to do something for them? Do you need me to pray for them? Oh, let me at least go say hi to them. Lord, let us love so deeply. Father, let us see people like you see them. Let us love people like you love them. Father, let us hear how you hear. Sometimes people say words that they don't really mean because they're so broken and hurt. Let us hear the meaning behind what they're saying, Father God, so that we don't get offended because they're being a little rough with us, but that we have compassion because we see where it's coming from. And we can pray, and we can encourage, and we can reach out, and we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for it. And Father, those that are still hurting in here today that I did not pray for, Lord, I pray for them right now. The battles have been long. But Lord, you are still sitting on the throne, and you are faithful. Your promises are yes and amen. And you will not leave us forsaken. The battle, the victory is already ours in every single battle that we've come across, Lord God. And I thank you that the enemy has to repay sevenfold what he's stolen from your people. Sevenfold. And I thank you that healing resides in every single person of this house. From their head to their toes. We are healed, we are whole, we are the righteousness of Christ. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you. This week as we go out there, just I pray you just strengthen them. Send somebody across their path that they can talk to for you. Give them boldness, Father God, like they've never had before, to stand up and speak the words you're giving them. Even in the face of rejection, give us boldness to still speak. But Lord, what if they don't reject? That's what we need to know. That's what we need to think about. What if they're going to say yes to you because we stepped up to do what you told us to do? Father, I thank you that you are helping us and guiding us and leading us. And I thank you that we are the church that loves. Won't look on the outside appearance, but we're just going to love your people no matter what they look like. And Lord, you're going to show us how to deal with everybody. You're going to lead us. You're going to guide us. Deal with different personalities and just love them, Lord. And I thank you. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise because he's worthy. Amen. He is so worthy. Oh, okay. Listen to Candy Keller. Candy Keller, you've been in Florida all week having fun. She says, I woke up asking for prayer, probably sinuses, congested and running a fever. Oh, no, running a fever. She ain't allowed to get sick after being on vacation, right? The enemy is not allowed. You just had a great time. You know, this ain't coming on you. So, Father, we just come and we pray for Candy Keller right now, Father, and we thank you that you said by the stripes of Jesus that she is healed. And, Father, that we could speak the word only to go to her. And we come against this congestion and this fever right now and anything that's trying to grab a hold of her, and we tell it to go in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you and we speak healing over Candy, and let her just have a great rest of her day. And, Father, just let her relax and recoup from vacation. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we will see you back on Thursday night. Amen. Everybody have a great day.